I believe the greatest legislative need of this nation is the adoption of a scriptural, constitutional, and scientific money system. In other words, a scriptural, constitutional, and scientific medium of exchange. We are passing from the age of scarcity into the age of abundance. And this is the first time in the history of the world when such thing has happened. And in the mercy and the kind providence of God, we are moving out from under the curse of heavy toil, the curse that got pronounced upon Adam and Eve, that they would have to eat their bread by the sweat of their brow. Now, I want to be understood here that I believe and I realize that to be busy and occupied doing the things that a person finds interesting and challenging, I believe that's one of the greatest blessings, one of the greatest delights that life affords. So I'm not in favor of idleness, but to have to sweat or do something that a person has no interest in and has no inclination for in order to eat, in order to keep body and soul together, that curse, thank God, has run its course. It's now being removed, and it's being removed by machines, machines that almost seem miraculous. Now, this is all in the providence and in the kind mercy of the Almighty. We have come now to the time when we must give thought to financing consumption as well as production. Now, to many people, this seems strange and new. What do you mean by financing consumption? Well, let me ask this question. What reason and what sense is there in production, the production of goods and services, if people cannot consume or partake of these goods and services for the lack of a medium of exchange or for the lack of this thing that we called money? Now, up till about 50 years ago, mankind was in constant battle with scarcity. Men and nations knew practically nothing except scarcity. And the goods and the services exchanged with money in those days, the goods and the services were few. And therefore, the money question was not as critical, as involved, and as serious as it is today. People provided their daily needs, their physical needs, largely by their own hands. Now, this is no longer the case. This age of scarcity is moving out. At least it's moving out of the United States of America. Now, during this long age of scarcity, and they've been ages, scarcity and poverty, people managed after a fashion, and the fashion wasn't too good many times, but they managed after a fashion in spite of our present unscriptural, unconstitutional, unscientific debt money system, people managed after a fashion to get along. But this system cursed and crushed people all down through these many ages. But now, thank God, we have come to the time when the kingdom of God is to come into full manifestation, full operation in this great kingdom nation. And this requires, as you can understand if you're thinking, this requires a scriptural, a Christian, and a scientific money system, or a medium of exchange. And that's all money is. That's all it should be. It's merely a medium of exchange. Under our present system, which is known in the scriptures as the Babylonian system, money is a medium of control, of domination, and enslavement, of crushing people and making it impossible for people to enjoy the bounties that God has flooded our nation with. Now, certain changes must take place, and these changes are not as radical and violent as some people might imagine. At least, they don't seem that way to me. Now, one of the big changes that must be made in our money system is the way in which money is created and placed into circulation. And this is what I'm primarily concerned with, and this is what the scriptures deal with so much throughout the writings of Moses and the prophets and the Lord himself and the apostles. Our money, at the present time, goes into circulation as a debt. Therefore, the wealthier we become in goods and services, the greater becomes our indebtedness. And now we're so wealthy that they tell us we're practically broke. Now, that'll have to be changed. Money shouldn't go into circulation as a debt. Money should go into circulation as a credit. And that credit should match and balance the goods and the services that needed to be and should be exchanged by the people. Now, here's something else that must be changed. Under our present system, our money is created by a private money monopoly. My friend, that's true. Many people have difficulty believing this. It seems so startling that they just can't believe it. You don't mean to tell me that our money is created by a private money monopoly. Yes, my friend, that's what I mean to tell you. And money goes into circulation by this money power, not only as a debt, it goes into circulation, gathering and demanding interest. Now, this, as you can understand, must be changed. Now, people imagine all sorts of things when we talk about this. They imagine that wealth and property and their savings and everything will vanish. No, my friend, it'll not vanish. The change will be at the source, where money comes into being, where it is created, where it is placed into circulation, and the method whereby it is placed into circulation. Now, money is just a medium of exchange. It just represents wealth. And money should, and money must, and I believe, thank God, according to the scripture, money will very shortly be created by Congress, as the United States Constitution demands. And this money must be created, as I stated, as a credit, not as a debt. Now, that's ridiculous. The wealthier we become in goods and services, and the more we increase in population, the greater we become as a nation, the greater our indebtedness to the money powers. Ridiculous. Let's create this money according to the Constitution, and let it go into circulation as credit, matching and balancing goods and services, the goods and the services available at any particular time. And this money at its source must be interest-free. At its source, money must be interest-free. Now, I'm just giving you a brief statement of the teachings of the Scripture, and Lord willing, we'll go into more detail and give you more Scripture. But money must go into circulation at its source, interest-free, and it must be placed into circulation at the bottom, not at the top, at the bottom. And one way of doing that would be a national dividend to all the people of the nation. Now, let me try to answer some of the questions and some of the ideas that you people have. Someone will say, well, that'll destroy all the incentive that people have to work. I disagree, my friend. I think it'll do just the opposite. I think a national dividend coming to the families, the poor families, and the people of meager income, a national dividend coming to them as a share, as a dividend, as a medium of exchange to exchange goods and services, I believe it would be the greatest incentive that millions of people could have. And I believe you'd find people going to work and undertaking things and venturing out and producing and building and doing all sorts of things. People had no incentive, had no hope. And then someone will say, didn't the Apostle Paul say that if a man will not work, he shall not eat. Yes, he did. And he said that to one particular church. Now, Paul was not setting forth an economic principle. He was setting forth the teaching for the church, and he told the church, if you have lazy people that are just laying around and sort of eating on you and they want work, well, the congregation is not supposed to support such people. Now, someone will say, well, Christ said the poor ye have always with you. Yes, he did. And he said that to Judas Iscariot. In other words, Christ said to Judas, as long as you have this pagan debt money system, where money is a medium of control, and money dominates body and souls of people, then you'll always have the poor. But I remind you, Moses wrote, to the end, that there be no poor among you. Let me call your attention to my book, New Money for the New Age, and this will give you comfort, this will give you light, and this will take some of the fear and the anxiety out of your mind. Many of you people have been told, and you imagine, that if the money system is changed, you lose all your property and all wealth is destroyed. That's ridiculous. Real wealth cannot be destroyed. The thing that's going to be changed is the money system. And it'll be the greatest release financially, mentally, physically that mankind has ever known. Could you imagine the condition that this nation would be in if we had money placed into circulation as a national dividend to all the people, placed in at the bottom, a scientific amount matching goods and services, just the opposite of what we're doing today. And that's what is coming. The simplest and perhaps the easiest way for me as a preacher to show you the evils and the shortcomings of our present money system, or perhaps I should say our method of putting money into circulation, is to call your attention to some Bible history written for our learning, written for our exhortation and instruction. I call your attention to the 5th chapter of Nehemiah. The first 4 chapters of this book tells about Nehemiah's struggle. He was called in the providence of God to establish a brand new nation, much like George Washington was called in the providence of God to bring this nation into being. And it's very interesting to note that Washington and Nehemiah neglected the same thing. They failed in one particular thing. We won in the battlefield, the Revolutionary War, but we lost in legislation by failing to legislate in regards to money. Now, this is the very thing that happened in the case of Nehemiah. Nehemiah was not a preacher. He was not a priest or a Levite. Nehemiah was what we would call today president. He was the head of a nation, and he was called in the promise of God to bring a nation into being. The first 4 chapters of this book tells about the problems that he encountered, how he had to deal with one thing after the other in order to bring this nation into being. Much like our founding fathers had their difficulties. But in the 5th chapter, we have something coming up that apparently took everybody by surprise. They'd had all sorts of difficulties, but they had overcome them by praying and by seeking the mind and the leading, the will of God as revealed in His Word. But in the 5th chapter, something happens, and I'll read for you here, and then I'll show you from this why our money system must be changed, and the method of putting money into circulation must be brought into harmony with the Constitution and with the Word of God. Now, our founding fathers did provide in the Constitution for a scriptural medium of exchange or a scriptural scientific method of putting money into circulation. They did provide that in the Constitution, but the Constitution was not followed. We read this in the 5th chapter of Nehemiah. And there was a great cry of the people. And by the way, these people had come back now from the Babylonian captivity. And in Babylon, they had picked up and they had perhaps perfected and developed a money system that was heathenish, Babylonish, and unscriptural. And that's not hard to understand. And that's what happened at the founding of our nation. The money powers from Europe came over here and they sold us the same idea and they saddled us with this same Babylonian money system. Now, if you follow with me, you'll see how this works. They had come back from Babylon and they were now in Palestine, in Jerusalem, and Nehemiah and other good and godly men were establishing a little nation, a brand new nation. We read in the first verse, and there was a great cry of the people and of their wives against their brethren, the Jews. Now, these people had come from Babylon, and a handful of them apparently, and evidently, a handful of them had brought with them this pagan debt money system. And the people began to cry out against it. Let's follow now and see what happened. For there were that said, we are sons, and our daughters are many. Therefore we take up corn for them, that we may eat and live. They said, we are increasing in population all the time, but there is no corresponding increase in money. So we're having a money scarcity. That's the first thing that they were complaining about. They did not complain that God had cut off the supply that comes from nature and from the earth. They didn't complain about that. They had plenty of food stuff and plenty of everything, but there was a scarcity of money. Then they said, some also there were that said, we have mortgaged our lands, vineyards, and houses that we might buy corn because of the drought. Now, they said there's such a scarcity of money that in order to have a medium of exchange, in order to exchange our goods and services, we have had to mortgage our lands and our vineyards and our houses. We have had to mortgage everything we have in order to have a medium of exchange. Then we read in the next verse, verse 4. There were also that said, we have borrowed money for the king's tribute, and that upon our lands and vineyards. They said, we didn't only have to mortgage our property and place it in the hands of the money powers. They said, we've even had to borrow money in order to pay our taxes. There's such a scarcity of money that we've had to mortgage everything we have, and we've had to borrow money in order to pay our taxes. And what's this going to come to? What's going to happen? The wealthier we become in goods and services, the more we increase in population, the greater becomes our indebtedness to these people that issue and control the money. Next verse. Yet now our flesh is as the flesh of our brethren, our children as their children. What they're saying is this. We find that these people who manipulate the money, they can get their children anything they need and anything they want. They said, our children are just as deserving. Our children are just as good. Our children should have the same opportunity as the children of these money lenders, these money creators have. And they reasoned. They complained, and there was a great cry against this thing. And then they said further, lo, we bring into bondage our sons and our daughters to be servants, and some of our daughters are brought into bondage. What are they saying? Well, they're saying what we're doing right now. They're complaining about the fact we've not only mortgaged our farms and our businesses and our homes in order to have a medium of exchange, but we've also mortgaged our children. We have saddled a debt upon our children and our grandchildren for generations to come. And they say, neither is it in our power to redeem them. Now listen to this. For other men have our lands and our vineyards. What do you think of that? Now, my friend, this is in the Word of God. This is the Word of God. This was written for our learning. And you know, if the preachers of this nation, if they'd preached this particular chapter, and there are many others just like it, and the Lord willing, I'll show you one after the other. If the preachers had preached this, we wouldn't be plagued today with communism and socialism. You never hear of a communist or a socialist that want to change the money system. They want to change everything else except that, because they know very well it's this Babylonian pagan debt money system that's enabling the socialists and the communists and these world planners to take over one nation after the other. They said, the lands and the vineyards, the lands that we have cleared and developed and we have sown them and worked these lands and these vineyards that we have planted and protected and cultivated, they said, other men have them. The money powers came and took our real property away from us. For other men have our lands and our vineyards. Before we continue our exposition of the fifth chapter of Nehemiah, where we find both the cause and the cure for our vexing and threatening problems in the realm of money and economics, I want to make a few remarks. First thing I want to say is, we gain nothing and we solve no problems by merely condemning and blaming others. We'll have more to say about that later. We'll show you where the blame is. It's actually our own fault. Second thing I want to say is, we must clearly and constantly distinguish between industrial capitalism and financial capitalism. This is something that the communists and the socialists do not do. They attack industrial capitalism, which to my mind is good, right, scriptural, and a godsend. It's industrial capitalism that has filled our land with the abundance of good things that we all enjoy. I'm talking about, and as I expound the scriptures deal with and they expose what we should know and recognize in distinction from industrial capitalism as financial capitalism. This is spoken of in the Bible as a judgment from God, as a curse. It's called a yoke, it's called a burden, and it's also called a millstone. That is, this debt money system where money goes into circulation as a debt. The third thing I'd like to say before we continue our exposition of Nehemiah 5 is that the average banker is doing what any other person would do under this system if he had an opportunity. And these people are victims, as well as other people, of the system. And the average banker can do little or nothing to change the system or the method whereby money goes into circulation. And I would say this too, that these money institutions are rendering many fine services and important services. Place to deposit our money and the checking system. These are convenient and they're very helpful. Let me say this too. No matter who issues the money, even if Congress issues the money, unless the method of placing money into circulation is changed, we'd have practically the same results. So it's the system or the method. Really, when it comes right down to the simple, basic difficulty, it's the method whereby we put money into circulation at its source. That's largely our problem. And that's a thing that must be changed, must be corrected.
Now, I feel that the Lord would have me devote a number of broadcasts to this issue of money in the light of Scripture, money system in the light of Scripture. There's nothing wrong with money. Many of God's greatest men had money, and lots of it. What I'm talking about is how money goes into circulation. Now, maybe you could call someone or tell someone that might be interested in this problem, and who isn't. It's one of the most threatening things facing this nation, and it's a trouble and a heartache and a frustration and embarrassment to practically everybody in the nation. From the President, White House, and Congress, right down to practically every family in the nation. This is a very frustrating and embarrassing and difficult thing. And it's all in the providence of God, because this system must be changed. Now let's go to Nehemiah 5. Let's review just a little bit. I call your attention to this chapter because here you have Bible history, not Bible prophecy. Bible history. Since it's Bible history, there's no argument here in regards to interpretation. We just read the Bible history, and then, as we're told in the New Scriptures, we get admonition, we get learning, we get instruction. At least, I hope we do. Nehemiah tells us of his experience of establishing this new nation. And in chapter 5, he tells about how this debt money system got them into all sorts of trouble. We read that there was a great cry on the part of the people. And this is what they said, among other things. Verse 3, they said, "We have mortgaged our lands. We mortgage everything we have in order to get a medium of exchange." That isn't right. That shouldn't be necessary. Congress should issue money, and money should match goods and services, as we'll see here from Nehemiah's experience. They said in verse 4, things went from bad to worse. They said, "We have borrowed money for the king's tribute." So instead of money being issued, interest-free and debt-free at its source. Now, please note that I say at its source. If money had been issued as it should have been, according to the law of Moses, according to the money system that David had and Solomon and all of these great good rulers, if money had been issued interest-free, debt-free at its source, made to balance and to equal goods and services, people wouldn't have had all this trouble. They wouldn't have had to borrow or mortgage their farms and their vineyards in order to have a medium of exchange. And they wouldn't have to borrow money in order to pay taxes or the king's tribute. Well, it went from bad to worse. Then the next verse, they said, things have gotten so bad, and the money is so tight, and the interest is so high, that we have actually not only mortgaged our houses and our vineyards and our homes and our businesses and gone into debt by mortgaging all of these things. They said we've actually mortgaged our sons and our daughters. And do you know that that's what we have done? That's what this nation has done. We've mortgaged our children and our grandchildren and unborn children. We mortgaged them to a private money monopoly in order that this private money monopoly would give us a medium of exchange. Ridiculous and absurd and wicked, and what's worse of all is it's utterly unscriptural. Then we read that they couldn't redeem their lands and their vineyards because money was too tight and interest was so high. All right, let's note now Nehemiah's reaction. And he wasn't a clergyman. He wasn't a preacher or a priest. He was the governor. He was the civil head. We read in verse 6, here's his reaction. And this is what our Congress should do. He said, "I was very angry." And note, he didn't get angry with the people. He understood the people's plight. And he saw what the difficulty was. And what a tragic thing it is today that our politicians will play politics and put themselves into political advantage by simply taking advantage of people's misery. A more cruel, wicked thing you could hardly imagine. Well, Nehemiah didn't do that. He went right to the source. And what I'm thinking of is this. I've made many trips to Washington. And I've talked to congressmen, I've talked to senators, I've talked to some very important people about the need of a scriptural constitutional medium of exchange. And do you know, in their private office, where nobody is listening, these men will come right out, and some of them I could name their names, of course I will not, but they come right out and they say, we understand, we know, the whole problem is the problem of who issues the money. But could you imagine they'd say a word about that? Not a word in the public. They just use every misery and every distress and every trouble that the people are in to develop some program that will put them over. Well, so much for that. Nehemiah said, I was very angry when I heard the cry and these words. Then he said, I consulted with myself. Now, that's pretty rough, isn't it? When a man has nobody to counsel with, he consulted with himself. I believe what he did was to sit down and read the laws of Moses relative to money. I imagine he sat down and read about the administration of David and Solomon and the good kings that had gone on before him, and he got some ideas. He learned something. He saw that these men had the government issue the money. They didn't have a private monopoly manipulating the money. Before I go to the scripture, we're going to continue with Nehemiah's story, his history of his experience with this money system and how he changed and how he cured this situation. This is found in the 5th chapter of Nehemiah. But before I do, I want to read a statement by Thomas Jefferson. And incidentally, Nehemiah wasn't too much different from men like Thomas Jefferson and George Washington. Nehemiah was a man in the providence of God that was called to establish a brand new independent nation. This is Bible history. This is found in the book of Nehemiah. You should just sit down and read this book. This is history, Bible history, of his experience. And the 5th chapter tells us about the difficulty that they had in the realm of money and economics. And we've gone over that. We've taken 2 broadcasts to go over that. Today we want to get into the cure and how he corrected this. But before we do, let me read this quotation from Thomas Jefferson. Quote, if the American people ever allow private banks to control the issue, now note this, the issue, as I've stated before, banks and money institutions render many good necessary services, and any fair-minded person will see that and agree to that. For instance, a place to deposit money and the checking system, writing checks, all of these are fine services. But note what he said. He said if the American people ever allow private banks to control the issue of the currency. Now, he's talking about the issuing. Money at its source. That's where our trouble is. He says if the American people ever allow this, first by inflation, and then by deflation, and that's what we have. That's what we've done. We've done that very thing. And today we have a strange thing. We have a new development in the providence of God. We have inflation and deflation at the same time. Now, in my books, I set forth the fact that this system must go, and it will go, and it's very shaky right now. Now, you people have been told, many of you gotten the idea, that any change in the money system or any correction will take all that you have. My friend, that's not true. That's scare propaganda. All that needs to be done and all that will be done is the issuing of money will be taken over by Congress, by the government, and it will not be by a private money monopoly. Well, let's go on with this quotation. First, he says, by inflation and by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all property until their children wake up homeless on the continent where their fathers died. Now, I don't need to comment on that. You see that. You know that. And we don't need to comment on that. But I think you'd think that's significant, worthwhile, this quotation from Thomas Jefferson. Now let's go to the scripture. And let's begin where we left off. We took you down through verse 1, down through verse 5 of the 5th chapter of Nehemiah. And there we learned that the people, because of the debt money system, because money was issued by a private money monopoly, put in as a debt gathering interest, the people from verse 1 to 5, we showed you, they lost all of their property, and the money powers had them in debt, economic bondage and servitude, to such an extent that they mortgaged not only their property, but their children and their grandchildren, just like we have done. Every child that's born now is born an economic slave to a private money monopoly. Now, this is strong language, but this, my friend, this is scripture. And if you want the solution, if you want light and correction, you must listen to the Word of God, to the counsel and the instruction from these good and godly civil leaders. Nehemiah was not a preacher. He was not a clergyman. He was president. He was a civil administrator. All right, what did he do? He said when he heard the cry of the people, and certainly we're hearing the cries of the people, the unemployed, and the people that are losing their homes and losing their property and losing everything they have, through mortgage foreclosure, inflation, deflation, money manipulation. This is one of the most wicked and cruel things that has cursed Christendom down through the ages. The reason is we will not listen to the Word of God. Let me say something to you reformers and you crusaders. Some of you imagine that you can correct this evil, you can fight this thing, and you can break this bondage without turning to the Word of God. I have news for you, my friend. You'll never do it. God alone can break this thing, and He's promised to do it when we turn to His Word. All right, let's see what Nehemiah did. He said, I was very angry. And he said, I consulted with myself. And to me, that simply means that he sat down and read the old scriptures, the administration of Moses and Solomon and David and the good kings, as recorded in the books of Kings and Chronicles. How did they solve the money problem? How did they put money into circulation? How did they provide the people with buying power? What sense is there in financing production if we're not going to finance consumption? What's the use? What sense is there in producing if people are not able to consume? And they can't consume unless they have buying power. Now, this is not socialism, nor is it communism. This is setting forth the teachings of the Scripture. This is scriptural economics. He said, I consulted with myself, and I rebuked the nobles and the rulers. Now, today, our leaders are rebuking the people. They're blaming the people. And they're talking about inflation and deflation. Well, these things are put on deliberately. And the fact of the matter is you can't have anything but deflation and inflation under a debt money system. If you had a scriptural constitutional money system, you'd have neither inflation or deflation. But I want you to note he didn't rebuke the people. He rebuked the nobles and the rulers. In our time, that would be, here was a president, got up before the Congress, and he rebuked Congress. He said, Congressman, what in the world is the matter with you? The Constitution demands and provides that you have the authority and the responsibility to issue money debt-free and interest-free, and why don't you do it? He rebuked not the people. He didn't rebuke the businessman. He didn't rebuke the laboring man. He rebuked the money manipulators and he blamed the rulers for allowing this debt money system to be saddled upon the people and be manipulated in the nation. He rebuked the nobles and the rulers. Then he did two things. And here again, my time is gone before I get started. But he did two things. First thing he did is in verse 10. He said, "Let us leave off this usury." Now, this is the Word of God. This is counsel and wisdom from the God of creation. And the God that established civil government, he said again and again in the writings of Moses, money at its source must be debt-free and interest-free. Now, I'm not saying there shouldn't be a service charge. Certainly the services that are rendered to us by banks and money institutions, these are valuable services and should be paid for. But at its source, he said, leave off this usury. In other words, money at its source must be interest-free and debt-free. Verse 11, the very next verse, is a tremendous revelation and is full of instruction, full of food for thought. It's so startling and that I suppose very few people actually think it's practical. But it is practical, and this is what they did, and this is the way they corrected this economic difficulty and problem that they were in. They were having inflation and deflation at the same time, just like we're having today. They had a national indebtedness that was crushing everything in the nation. Now, let me read verse 11, and you listen carefully. Nehemiah gave this instruction, and this was legislation in the nation. This was not some ordinance in a church. Restore, I pray you, and this was instruction to the money powers, the people that had created the money, the private money monopoly. Here was the instruction that came from the government. Restore, I pray you, to them, even this day. Now, this wasn't a long, drawn-out affair. This was something that's to be done now. Restore, I pray you, to them, even this day, their lands. The lands they had taken away by mortgage foreclosure, by the manipulation of money. First inflation, and then deflation, then mortgage foreclosure. They'd taken people's lands. So he said, you restore the lands. Then he said, you restore their vineyards. And he went on, their olive yards and their houses. Would that be something? And it will be something. Because this is what's going to happen in this nation. Hundreds and thousands of people have lost their property because of this money manipulation, inflation and deflation and mortgage foreclosure. When we come back to God's system, and we will, because there'll be nothing left to do. When we come back, this is what we're going to have to do. We're going to have to restore their houses. And then he said this, also the hundredth part of the money that the people lost in the banks going closed, you restore that money to the people. Not just a part of it, 100%. That's what he said. And of the corn and the wine and the oil that ye exact of them, and the stuff that you've taken from the farmers through manipulation and through juggling the prices, you restore that corn and wine and oil to them. Now, this was so definite and so firm that in the next verse we read, then said they, we will restore them and will require nothing of them. So will we do as thou sayest. And they did this because there was nothing else to do. And they did this too because they saw this was their way out as well as the way for the people. It was to their own good. Now these people that manipulate the money, they will have their share too. They'll be treated proper and they'll be treated scripturally. And these men knew they would be. But if they didn't, they knew what would happen because Nehemiah told them what would happen. In verse 13, he told them what would happen to them if they didn't change this money system and make it legal and right and scriptural. Let me read verse 13. Also I shook my lap and said, so God shake out every man from his house and from his labor that performeth not this promise. Even thus be he shaken out and emptied. And all the congregation said, Amen, and praised the Lord, and the people did according to this promise. Now the question that would arise for us today would be this. How would we, or how could we, restore to these people that have lost their farms and their homes and their properties, their businesses, how can we restore to these people the things that they have lost?